The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you. It is Tuesday morning, the 24th of September 2019. We're here till 10 o'clock. 51551 is the text number. And you can email ryan at rte.ie. In a few minutes' time, all things being equal, we will talk to one of the men who is, they call themselves the Lennon and McCartney of Netflix. They founded the downloading channel, or whatever you want to call it, but it is about the birth of that phenomenon and the amazing life of an idea. And it's really the chat with him, I suspect, is going to be about how to start up something that becomes enormously successful and then how to deal with that success and ultimately how to manage it in the face of extraordinary competition and to stay relevant, which often Netflix can and can't be. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes' time with Mr. Mark Randolph. You can look him up if you wish. It's Mark with a C. Email ryan at rte.ie. All the papers today, and I really want to talk about Greta Thunberg for a moment because I'm just in two minds, and I know that people are looking, and everyone seems to have an opinion on the 16-year-old climate activist. And last night I was looking at the news, and I just felt a little uncomfortable. That's the truth of it. I'm one of these people who thinks that the young people last week who marched in Ireland was great. I'm not going to sit on the fence. I think that I really liked their chutzpah, their spirit, their sense of adventure, their sense of public service. They were doing something. And I know people say, go back to school. I know people say, you do your homework. And I get that. But, you know, maybe civil rights campaigners once walked when people might have said, go back to work. Or, you know, maybe people felt it wasn't a good idea to, as somebody even texted last week, where do you sit on the bus? I mean, this could be passing some of us by generationally. But let's talk about this young woman, Greta Thunberg. If you didn't see her on the news, there was a run of her address to the United Nations that it gave me pause.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet I'm one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, that's a clip of it. Her face contorted in pain, in agony, and in anxiety. And this is an anxiety that is permeating throughout the world for young people, arguably causing a problem, rightly or wrongly, a fear, which is fine. It's one thing, I think, campaigning. It's another thing, causing anxiety to a generation. I don't think Greta's doing that necessarily. But I was watching her, not really thinking about the climate. I was thinking about my daughter. What would I do if I saw my 16-year-old face contorted, talking about her childhood and life being robbed of her in that audience? And what if I was her father? And I turn on the news in my hotel and I turn on Fox News and I see a man, an adult commentator, describing her as somebody said, you're a grown man. You're attacking a child. And the guy said, I'm not. I'm attacking the left for exploiting a mentally ill child. She has Asperger's. That's known. But it's now up. She's now up for grabs. 16-year-old shouldn't be up for grabs. 15, a 14-year-old, as she has been in the last 2 or 3 years, shouldn't be. I just don't think should be put on that stage, that size. It's not good for her health, I think. Not good for her mental health or her well-being. The business of sending her across the ocean on a boat, I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's making a point, but I'd rather an 18-year-old did that than a 16-year-old. And I'd rather an 18-year-old spoke like that rather than a 16-year-old. And I do understand that it's a youth-led movement, but I just worry, is she all right and is she being minded? And is it the right thing for her to be where she is at this moment? It's not to knock her. It's too easy to knock. Too easy. And it's not to mock her because I'm told, at least, that You know, the online thing is just out of control. So they've come up with, sure, that's no news there at all. So that's what I'm saying. Everyone has an opinion, I think, on her. She's in all the papers today. You know, like even a text just comes in there straight, five words. Greta should be in school. You know, and I know there is that sense. And it's food for thought. I just thought last night, no, that's not good. I just worried about her. Felt that she possibly wasn't being minded as she should be. And Donald Trump, there was a remarkable scene where she was standing in the background as Donald Trump was passing by. It was like something out of a movie. It was kind of dark. A tale of two generations, a tale of two philosophies passing by like ships in the night of the United Nations. It's quite the image. You might have seen it, but it not good. Difficult times all around. And he was kind of arguably trolling her a little bit by saying she seems like a fun girl and things like that. He was there yesterday at the press conference, again, as compelling as he always is. And he was asked about the chances of him receiving or deserving a Nobel Peace Prize. It's a little noisy, but listen to it and you get the sense.
Mr. President,
you're going to get a Nobel Prize for a lot of things if they gave it out fairly, which they don't.
Mr. President,
they gave one to Obama immediately upon his ascent to the presidency, and he had no idea why he got it. And you know what? That was the only thing I agreed with him on.
Right, so he would accept one if they gave them out fairly, but they don't. And he has a point. I mean, the Obama Peace Prize, Nobel Prize for Peace, was considered pretty bonkers, I think, in retrospect, by most people, including Barack Obama. So, as Trump said there, it's a difficult one. And I think they're all agreed that that was a bit odd. Now, a text from Alien says, I'm a 70-year-old woman. I resent being accused of ruining the planet. In my time, we had glass bottles for liquids, which we returned to the store. We had no mobile phones or Wi-Fi, and all our produce was loose, and you brought your own bag to the shop. We had bicycles if you were lucky to get to school, or else you walked. No central heating or televisions, just the radio to listen to, and it didn't do us any harm. I say back to basics for us and see how the young people will cope with that. And are we feeling it like a schism in the generations now? I mean, that's another thing which could be quite interesting, where she was, Greta was saying, heard things about, you know, to how dare you. No one likes being addressed in that way. No one. Even Trump was at the press conference and a woman, they were all shouting at him and he just, quiet, you, quiet, quiet. No one likes being dressed like that, whether it's by a 16-year-old young person or a 70-odd-year-old president of America. I agree with you, says the text, about that Greta girl. Who wrote that speech for her? She sounded like an actor. Well, this could be just her way. I don't know enough about her. This could be her way of speaking. And I don't know. The words were so impassioned and so mature and adult and plaintive and accusatory that it just felt, I tend to agree, it didn't feel like it could have come from her own pen. But then again, that's how speeches are written by people around you in so many cases, especially in politics. And that's where she is. She's in politics. There's a movie in Greta and the movement. Yeah, well, of course there is. Another, I agree with you. Her parents shouldn't let her do that. She should be having fun like other 16-year-olds and not growing up too early. I can't think of too many young people. I mean, when I say young, I mean under 16, who led movements down through the years. I can think of young actors and actresses, as they would have been called then, being, you know, a big deal, but not young people who've done this. 100% agree with you, says Kieran. I can't help feeling Greta is being exploited. It doesn't take from her argument at all. She is right about climate change, but yes, it's uncomfortable. I just thought we got to a tipping point last night where now she needs to be, you know, either brought home and watch a movie, you know, just go for a walk with your dad or your ma. And, you know, just a little return to the simple thing. And then come back when you're in a year or maybe. But the other thing is she has momentum and she has to kind of grasp that. I'm just not 100% about it all. Liz Dumphy's writing in The Examiner this morning that Cork City Dump, of all places, but Cork City Dump has become an unlikely social media sensation thanks to its colourful collection of teddy bears that clamour and swing from its entrance. Right then, how does that work? Well, Elsa smiles next to Miss Piggy, who bats her eyelashes at all who enter. Lions languish above the entrance, and a monkey swings merrily from the high metal barrier. As charities, this is where what caught my eye, really. As charities stopped accepting toys, what? Have they stopped? They arrived instead in droves to the dump. So essentially it's Toy Story 3 meets a dumpster. That's it in Cork. But instead of discarding the once loved teddies, workers there, in their decency and kindness, have placed them artfully and humorously around the entrance to Cork's civic amenity site, just off the South Link, City Link Road. The teddy installation has been a huge hit, with people lugging waste to the recycling centre and dump, and also to people in the adjacent Tremor Valley Park, which has a walkway that winds past the teddies. And sure enough, there's Paul Walsh and Finbar Sheehan showing off the impressive haul of displaced soft toys. Displaced soft toys. Great picture by John DeLee, if I'm getting your name right there, John. Great shot. And sure enough, they could have just put them in and said, get rid of them, landfill, yeah, forget about it. But actually they said, no, let's do something nice with these. Add a bit of colour to the city dump and make it a bit more enjoyable for people as they pass by. I like that. Greta, says the text, is a hero, a global hero, a modern Joan of Arc. It takes her for people to listen. Okay. Another from Carmel says, you're right about that young girl. I felt exactly the same. Wasn't right to see her anxieties and worries displayed like that. I would be so worried if she was my child. She shouldn't feel so anxious about a global issue. Does she understand the enormity of the problem, or does she feel it's easily fixed? It's hard to know. I know, and yet I love her passion. You see, this is why I'm conflicted. I love the movement. I love the idea of young people being so utterly engaged and involved and discussing it. But I just worry, as I say, a bit about her. Adi Roach is delighted because the TV show Chernobyl scooped a trio of Emmys, which is great news, and I'm glad that it raises awareness. And it keeps a smile on Adi Roach's face, which is a good thing. There was an Emmy for best for directing for a limited series, and one for best writing for a limited series, and that's good news for that program. Meanwhile, the Line of Duty program, which we rave about here, currently I think it's still going there on RT2, as it happens. Britain's most senior police officer, her name is Cressida Dick, was outraged by the BBC's police corruption drama, Line of Duty, even though it led to an increase of applications to join the force. Did you know that? Didn't know that? She said that the show's portrayal of police corruption bore no relation to reality. Ah. However, the Met Commissioner admitted that the show and another BBC One hit, Bodyguard, have led to an increase in applications to join the police by making the job seem, quote-unquote, cool and interesting. The guy in Room to Improve, which I got back to last night, who had the house built, very nice couple, he said the words cool and wow a lot. And it was really interesting because by about 20 minutes in, we started doing a cool count. And like, will you do three more? And sure enough, he said, yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, that cool windows. And said, the walls, yeah, we'll keep those. But what you call a pebble dash, that was the point of Sunday's Room to Improve. Do we like pebble dash as a nation? Or do I know from the younger generation watching last night, it's a no. But Dermot was all about it. In fact, he wanted one wall inside the house to be pebble dash, which he thought was rather cool. 51551 is the text number. I know that, you know, when we brought our friends from the National Services onto the first Late Show of the season a few weeks ago, there was a spike in applications to join voluntary organisations in the country because people were moved by what they saw at the display of the our volunteers and others in uniform who play a part in the daily life of the country. And I just thought that was tremendous, and I was happy to hear that. And I'm also happy to see an ad for a programme. It was one of my favourite programmes. They just did it once, a once-off, a little pilot. I want to say little. It was a great pilot called for a show called Raised by the Village. And they had these kids from, you know, Dublin mostly, but who really just wouldn't know what a farm was or how it would work or a little village or a hamlet of some sort. But they've decided to do again, back with a four-part series telling the story of eight families in the city who need help with parenting. And you know what? If your child is reckless and acting the maggot, or if your child's great consistently, as far as you know, because you can never tell what they're thinking, really. This programme is really good just to kind of get a feel for the next generation. It's and also their relationship with things like phones, laptops, iPads. And when you remove all of those devices and you stick them in the farm and say, there's a horse, there's a cow, milk it. It's great. It's well worth watching. It's coming back on Sunday night at 6:30. I will be glued to it. So episode one, Warren and Jordan head to Ballintubber in Mayo for a week to see what country life is like on the farm. That I want to see. Now back to quick Greta and my concerns about her and her well-being and the wisdom of having her leading a movement at that such a young age. A text comes in to say, I watched Greta last night in the news. I'm flabbergasted at these adults sitting, applauding, nodding and almost carrying her as a beacon. I'm a mother of three girls, one who is studying geoscience. And this child, Greta, should be at home at school and enjoying her teenage years. And I find there's a hysteria, a sense of impending doom. I even see it in my 15-year-old as she listens and watches Greta. It was too uncomfortable to watch. Even more uncomfortable to hear ministers refer to the speech as passionate. It was way more than that and way more than an issue with climate change. Thank God someone else felt the same uneasiness. Yeah, I felt there was a gear change last night. There was a mental illness situation that we need to be aware of and be responsible for. And I think there's nearly, if she was a movie, I'd press pause. I'd endeavour just to take a breath and think it through. It's 9:20. We'll have Morphia after this.